All right, welcome everyone. This is your host Lucian Gauthier, and I am here with a very special guest. And he's going to be speaking at our upcoming Longevity Now conference, one of the hottest health conferences of the year. It's right around the corner. Join thousands of health enthusiasts from all around the world for 3 incredible days of groundbreaking education in cardiovascular health, nutrition, anti-aging, epigenetics, safe and effective detoxification, optimal brain and memory function, gut health, hormones, peak performance, satisfying relationships, longevity science, and top beauty and wellness strategies that will keep you looking and feeling your best. We've got a few short weeks before the event. We've got a few hotel rooms left. We've got a few tickets left. So if you're on the fence and thinking about coming, this next guest will help you make that decision a lot easier. We are here with none other than Jim Quick. Taking the stage with us April 6th through April 8th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Hilton Anaheim in Anaheim, California. And Jim, you are a memory expert. You're a brain expert. You're also very adept at superfoods, super herbs. I've known you for many years, and it's a great pleasure to have you here today.
I'm so excited about this conversation we're having right now, and also this event so much. This is really, even when I'm not speaking there, I love to attend the Longevity Now conference. Because I think some of the best teachers are the best students. So thanks again for having me.
And you kind of blend the two worlds of, like, you know, elite performance using your brain and also physical performance using superfoods and super herbs. Just real quick, what's your connection? What's your understanding of those two working together? And maybe even just diet and food in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody, the big promise of this, and so I imagine a lot of people are listening right now, we're all concerned about our mind. We're all concerned about our memory. We're all about living in this age of technology where we're losing focus, easily distracted, and we're overwhelmed and having this real, it's taking its toll on both our minds and our bodies. And we know that, you know, one of the most important things that you could do to be able to stave off, you know, brain aging and dementia and things, keeping your mind active. And so the good news is that only 1/3 of your memory or your intelligence is predetermined by genetics and biology, but 2/3 is completely in your control. And so it doesn't matter your age, your background, your career, your level of education, your financial situation, your gender, your personal history, your IQ. Really what it comes down to is lifestyle. And a big part of that, and I'm going to talk about 10 keys for unleashing what I call your quick brain, your super brain, if you will, so you can have your best brain that you desire and deserve at the conference. But, you know, it starts with the food that you eat, because you are what you eat. Literally, your brain is only about 2% of your body mass, but it requires 20% of the nutrients. And people could be doing other things like sleeping and stress management. They could be doing their yoga and everything, but if they're eating the improper foods, they're not going to be at their best. And so, you know, we talk about some of the best brain foods. And, you know, I've been a longtime fan and friend of David Wolf's, you know, for goodness, going on almost, can you believe this is almost 20 years?
I know.
And it is insane. And so, but, you know, you want a super brain, you have to eat superfoods.
And let's talk about some of the challenges that face people today. I mean, pretty much anyone who's alive and has a pulse is aware of how technology and devices are shaping our brain. And there's a lot of studies out about how it's shaping the brain of children who are exposed mm-hmm. to this technology early on. Let's get your take on it, some of the pitfalls, the dangers, the challenges, and then maybe some of the successes we can have.
Okay, so what I would say is that I love technology in that it's very convenient. It makes our lives, it connects us in ways that we couldn't normally be connected. It allows us to store lots of information and share information, you know, in this information age, if you will. But it, along with the convenience, comes the cost. And I'll talk about 3 of them really quickly. I think that we all live on our smart devices, right? And so separate from the EMFs and everything else that comes, you know, along the challenges with that to our body and our brain, what I would say is the challenge is, number one, it's overload, because with this device with us all the time, the amount of information is doubling at dizzying speeds and we have instant access to it. So a lot of people who are listening to this right now, I think we could all identify with information anxiety, they call it information fatigue syndrome. Everything is a syndrome, right? A higher blood pressure, compression of leisure time, more sleeplessness, or even if people have some free time, they can't enjoy it because their mind is so multitasking and thinking of all these other things. And so overload is a big deal, and it's really weighs on us. Nowadays, you know, how many people have books on their shelf they haven't read yet? I mean, think about how many emails you get a day, app notifications, social media alerts. I mean, we're being bombarded with information. So we're drowning information, but we're starving for real wisdom, you know, practical things that people could do to be able to get through the noise. And so that overload, one of the best ways of overcoming overload is to upgrade our learning skills, you know, because one of the challenges with the amount of information doubling in every couple of years, I was doing a program and I heard that the chairman of Google said that the amount of information that's been created from the dawn of humanity since humans walked the earth to the year 2003, which is only, a decade and a half ago, that amount of information now is being created every 2 days online.
Wow.
So information, we all feel it, right? It's just we're overloaded and we can't keep up. And so that's a big challenge. So the way to be able to improve that and be able to reduce and mitigate that stress and fatigue is just by upgrading our learning skills, because we're not really taught how to learn. You know, school taught us what to learn, like math, history, science, Spanish, important subjects. And how many classes were there on how to focus, how to really actively listen, how to think critically, how to solve problems, how to read faster, how to remember things. So that's a challenge. So number one, digital overload. I would say the other challenge is digital distraction, you know, because of all these, and this is the thing, I'll say something that people don't want to hear, but as a coach, I have to just call people on things that just don't serve them. And one of the habits, the worst habits, everybody has a to-do list, right? We all have things that we need to do, and it's growing every single day. I also advise people to have a not to-do list. Let me say it again. So everyone has a to-do list, but I think some of the most successful and the happiest people, most fulfilled people, have a very long list of things they will not do. You know, foods that they will not eat, activities they will not indulge in. And one of the biggest challenges people have with their phones, I believe the worst habit for everybody is to look at their phone first thing in the morning. And that's probably what people don't want to hear, but it's an addiction. Right? We're grabbing our phone hundreds of times a day, and it's programmed that way. And the reason why you want to pick up your phone the first thing in the morning is because when you wake up in the morning, you're in this alpha theta state, this brainwave state where you're completely relaxed, and you're more unconscious, and you're very susceptible to external stimuli. And if you're picking up your phone, the first thing, you're programming your mind, if you will, to be two things. You're programming it, number one, to be distracted, because every single time you get a like or a share or whatever, you're getting this dopamine fix. And the dopamine, you know, the receptors for dopamine, it's really your learning and motivation track. And so it's really programmed. There's a doctor who's a master of habits, Dr. B.J. Fogg. And I had interviewed him from my podcast, and he teaches at Stanford University. And one of his students actually created Instagram. And think about how they want to make that habitual and addictive. And so, you know, when you pick up your phone first thing in the morning and you look at videos of cats and all these other things, it's training you to be distracted. But the other thing it's training you to be is reactive. And this is very important, that you can't, if you want to win the day, you have to win the first hour of the day. And you can't start the day by, you know, checking your emails and looking at texts. And I have a friend, Brendan, who says that an email box is nothing but a convenient organizational system for other people's agenda for your life, right? It's training you to be reactive and to fight fires. And you can't have a quality life if you're just reacting, as opposed to, you know, having these three things that you need to thrive to really accomplish your goals. And I recommend, you know, people, it's very more manageable than the hundreds of things we have on our to-do list, but there are often one or two, three things on that list that really move the needle in your life. It's like the first domino, you know, in the stack. And then what I'm looking to do is set up three things personally and three things professionally that would just make it a win today. And they don't have to be big things, but I don't check my email or messages before I at least accomplish one thing of those three. And so, again, it's rewiring our brains to be distracted and to be reactive. And I would say, set your phone aside and really do the things that are important for you. You know, wake up and, you know, do things that are brain friendly for yourself, like make your bed. And you're like, gym, you know, how's that brain friendly? But how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you start your day by making your bed, you know, it only takes a couple minutes, but you start with success. You start with excellence and you can build on it. And then when you come back to bed at the end of the day, you come back to success, which is really good. But I teach people morning routines that activate your brain, like brushing your teeth with the opposite hand, because it activates the different parts of your brain. For example, you know, taking a cold shower to lower inflammation and reset your nervous system, making a brain power smoothie in the morning, you know, which is so important, you know, with the brain foods that we all know that we all love, you know, whether it's avocados or blueberries, I like to call them brain berries, you know, things like broccoli and coconut oil and green leafy vegetables and all this dark chocolate, of course, you know, put that all into a blender and it makes an amazing boost. And so to answer your question, I would just say that there's no such thing as a good or bad memory. There is no such thing as a good or bad brain. There's a trained brain and an untrained brain, or trained memory and an untrained memory. And you want to do good things for it. And it starts really with, you know, you are what you eat. You literally what you eat becomes you.
You know, you've been teaching and coaching people for many years, and you've come across, I'm sure, lots of tips and tricks. What's some of your tricks that you use, for example, remembering phone numbers? One of the things that I'm completely hopeless at now is that if someone's phone number is not programmed into my phone as a contact, there's literally no hope of remembering that number. And if my phone dies or I don't have my phone on me, I actually am completely helpless when it comes to contacting someone. What's some of your tricks that if you meet someone or you just get a phone number for the first time, is there anything we can do to make it stick in our mind a little bit better?
100%. And going back to what we talked about, you know, using our phones, when you think about how many phone numbers we knew growing up, how many phone numbers did we memorize? Like all of them, right? Dozens and dozens of phone numbers we had at our mental fingertips. But how many phone numbers do we remember right now? Maybe one or two. And there could be a number that we're calling every single day to a loved one, and we honestly don't know what that number is because we don't have to. And this is the third thing that, you know, we could talk about, because, you know, that's really the theme of my talk on stage, is how to overcome digital overload, digital distraction. And the third thing is digital dementia. And the reason why we're forgetting phone numbers, we can't even remember phone numbers, because we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices. And so your mind is like a muscle, but it's use it or lose it. You know, if I put my arm in a sling for 6 months, it's not going to grow stronger. It's not even going to stay the same. It's going to grow weaker. It's going to atrophy, right? And a lot of people's their mental muscles are growing a little flabby, and because of that disuse. And so if we're relying on our smart devices to keep our schedules and to do simple math and to have our to-do list and our grocery list and keep all the phone numbers. Now, keep in mind, technology is very convenient. I don't want to memorize hundreds of phone numbers any more than anybody else necessarily wants to do, but we've lost the ability just to remember one phone number. And and so how do you build those mental muscles up again? Is just through exercise. Because the bad news is it takes effort, but the good news, it doesn't take as much as people think. Just like remembering names too. And so there's three keys to improving your memory, really just what it boils down to, three keys. And I call it MOM, M-O-M. So whether it's a number, phone number, or someone's name, I think a lot of people are very forgetful. They'll meet somebody and, you know, and then the name just disappears out of their mind. And, you know, and that's why I'm really excited at longevity conferences to be able to also talk about the, you know, how to remember names, because people go to longevity now because the content, but also they go for the connections. You meet some incredible people, right? The community that really is a lot of the value, but you meet somebody and they forget their name. So MOM, the M is this, is let's say people forget the names or they forget a phone number, but there was a suitcase of $1 million cash, tax-free for you or your favorite charity. You can do whatever you want with it if you just remember the next phone number that you hear, or if you just remember the name of the next person, you know, you meet. How many people are going to remember that? Like everybody, right? Everybody's going to remember that phone number or that name. So notice it had nothing to do with your capabilities. It had everything to do whether you were motivated or not. And so that's the first distinction I want people to have before we even get into technique. is just a lot of people don't remember things, or they don't learn things, or they don't retain things, because they're not tapping into their drive, to their passion in terms of things that are most important to them. And so even asking yourself a very simple question, people ask me all the time, how do you maintain your focus? I'm so distracted. One of the ways you can control and influence your focus is the power of questions, because questions really are the answer. Ask and you shall receive, right? You have that part of your brain called the reticular activating system that dictates where you're going to put your focus. And so what I would say is use that power of focus to be able to harness your memory, because really the art of memory is the art of attention. And so ask yourself, why do I want to remember this number? Why do I want to remember this person's name? So maybe it's for names, you know, I want to show the person respect. Maybe I want to make a new friend. Maybe I want to make a sale. Maybe I want to practice these things I learned from Jim, whatever it is, because here's the thing, when it comes to your memory, reasons reap results. Reasons reap results. That the more reasons you have for learning something, just like whether you're reading a book, some people read a page in a book and just forget what they just read, right? Or they forget the conversation. But if you have reasons to remember, you'll remember. Just like some people are really bad with names, but they don't forget all names. They'll remember the name of people that they have reasons to. Maybe they're attracted to the person, or maybe they can do business with them. There's some kind of motivation that's there. And I think there's a success formula that I'm going to leave people with. It's H cubed, that success goes from your head to your heart to your hands. That you could visualize things in your head all day. You could set goals, health goals, you know, body goals, business goals. But if you're not acting with your hands, right, those are two of the H's, head and hands. But if you're not acting with your hands, usually what's missing is the second H, which is your heart, right? And that symbolizes emotion, the energy of motion. And so, you know, one of my favorite books is called Start With Why, and really tapping into your why. So why do you want to remember these numbers? The O in MOM stands for observation. And as I was saying before, it's not when people are forgetful, they think it's their retention. It's not your retention, it's your attention. And our attention, as we talked about, is so split nowadays. People are multitasking and they're not present. And that's the big challenge. Everybody here that's listening can remember a 7-digit number. They just can't. You have this supercomputer of a brain. It is far beyond anything that we've created from a technology standpoint by multitudes. But the challenge is your brain doesn't come with an owner's manual, and it's not always user-friendly, and we're not taught how to get the most out of it. They say we use a very small percentage of its potential. We could use all our brain, but how we're using it is people are using it at different levels of efficiency. And so what I would say is, if you want to remember numbers or names or any foreign languages or any of the things that you feel forgetful about, is to really harness your power of presence. You know, when you meet somebody who has a great memory, there's a very good chance that they're incredibly present with you also, that they're listening to you. They're not, when you're meeting someone for the first time, they're not distracted, or, you know, you can get a number, but most people don't believe they're going to remember the numbers, so they don't even pay attention to it. But it really comes down to harnessing your attention. If you want a better memory and you want to have a powerful presence with people, then be powerfully present with people. So say again is that if you want a better memory and you want a powerful presence, then try being powerfully present with people. And to remember numbers or names, just write down this word listen. Write down the word listen. But most people aren't really listening. You know, they're waiting for their turn to speak. They're thinking about how they're going to respond. And so they're not hearing the number or they're not hearing the name. And so I would say, even if you write down the word listen or just imagine it, you know, in your mind, if you scramble the letters to the word listen, it becomes another word. It becomes the word silence. Silence. But so many people can't just be in silence with, you know, with people. Another one of my favorite books is this book by Dr. Stephen Covey called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I highly recommend it. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he talks about the 7 habits that the most effective people in the world have in common. And one of them is seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand someone, then to be understood. Because that's really what people want, right? They want to be heard. They want to be seen. And so be there with people and you'll remember their name. Be there with people and you'll remember the number. And the last M, when you go from motivation, observation, the last M in MOM stands for mechanics. Mechanics. And I don't mean the person that fixes your car. I mean the steps, the strategy, you know, the techniques, if you will, on how to remember a number. You know, I use an ancient code of memory that's a couple hundred years old, where we take numbers and I show them how to transform the numbers into sounds. Because there happens to be about, there are 10 digits and there happen to be 10 consonant sounds grouped together that sound alike. And then when I hear a number, you could actually turn them into words and pictures that make them much more memorable. That would be an example of a mechanical skill. So the mechanics are the things that I'll be teaching at the Longevity Now conference, right on stage. We teach the strategies on exactly how to remember names or how to remember a number or what is the best brain, you know, diet, if you will, you know, so to be able to be, you know, a mental genius, if you will. And I don't mean genius like IQ. I mean, a lot of people have kids and they always want to know how smart their children are, how smart they are. It's not how smart you are. It's how are you smart? Not how smart you are, it's how are you smart. And in school, really, when you think about standardized tests, it was really around these two forms of intelligence, which is verbal, linguistic, and mathematical, you know, math, logical, if you will. But there's so many other forms of intelligence that, and we know from latest research that intelligence is not fixed, like they thought IQ was, that you would get tested on your IQ as a kid and that would be your number. But it's not fixed like your shoe size, you know, your potential, your power, your memory, your intelligence, not fixed like, you know, like that. And so you can grow it. But the other area is, you know, to recognize is that there are other forms of intelligence. Like what about people who are amazing with music? What about people who are geniuses with their body, like kinesthetic intelligence? You think about dancers, you think of, you know, martial artists. You think of, you know, athletes and such. But what about interpersonal intelligence? You know, people who are great with people. What about intrapersonal intelligence? People are just have a self-awareness and a, you know, self-to-self. You know, what about environmental intelligence? People understand systems and so on. Musical intelligence just goes on and on. So my main message for everyone that's listening is this: if you're overloaded, if you're distracted, if you're forgetful, if you can't, you know, if you don't feel like you're tapping into this gift that we all have, you know, it's not your fault. It's just we grew up with a 20th century education that prepared us for a 20th century world, which at the turn of the century is working out on farms, early factories, and that it was assembly line, one size fits all, cookie cutter approach that really didn't honor our true gifts. And the good news is that we have this incredible genius inside of us, this 3-pound matter between our ears. And it can do amazing, astonishing things. And it's just, we just need to learn how. And so I think this, you know, one of the most important skills to learn today in a world that's ever changing, the only constant is change. They say the average high school or college graduate's going to have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 14 different careers because the half-life information is just so short and everything is happening at a fast pace. Learning how to learn is like the most important ability, because if you can learn how to learn, you can apply that towards any subject, towards any skill. And what it allows you to do is to save this precious resource that we have, which is the one thing we can't get back, which is our time, right? Our time, our attention, our focus. Because people could invest in events and invest in books and everything else like that, but they can always make more money every couple of weeks with their job and everything. But, you know, your time is most valuable. That's why when I speak at these events, at your event particularly, you know, I give 1,000% because I respect everyone who's there. They invested some of their money, but mostly their time and attention to be there. And it's their deep immersion where there's no distraction. And we do this together, because learning now, you know, it's not solo, it's social. You know, it's not just your neurological networks or biological networks, it's your social networks. And that's why I think it's so important that everybody gathers together. You know, we have these circles of genius, if you will, because your positive peer group makes a difference, because you have these things called mirror neurons that actually, these are your imitation neurons. These are like when you're watching television and you could feel what the main, you know, actor is feeling because you imitate them, just like children learn so well through not what you say, but what you do. And so it's important you're around people that have beliefs that are empowering, that encourage you, that challenge you. And so that's why these environments are so important. And that's why I love going to this conference.
All right, fantastic. That is a lot of food for thought. We've been here with Jim Quick speaking. If you haven't checked out his website, check it out right now. It's jimquick.com, J-I-M-K-W-I-K.com. Also, quicklearning.com. You can go there. You can sign up for a free 3-part brain training session. So that's really exciting for people. Get their feet wet with some of your great techniques and methodology there, Jim. Cool. And we're really looking forward. You're one of our favorite speakers. We've known you for so many years, like you said, going on 20 years now. We're all getting older together and hopefully experiencing longevity together.
And that's why I love about my topic specifically is going to be on brain longevity and how to have an ageless mind. And so this is the thing, you know, the key to immortality is first living a life worth, remembering, if you will. And that's where it really starts. And just having good memories, not just about facts and figures and formulas. It's also remembering your loved ones, remembering your life. Because your life is worth living. It's worth remembering. And so remembering their lessons, too. A lot of people say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I don't think it's insanity. I just think it's a poor memory. We're not remembering the lessons of our life. So we eat the same bad food. You know, we maybe have, you know, date the same wrong person or make the same mistakes in business or financially. And so that's my passion, is elevating people's mind and their memory so they could have more of a peace of mind, right? More of a positivity and more of a confidence in their step. You know, when people come back from this event, you know, people ask them how their day was, they're like, wow, I crushed it today. Because, you know, the best of you showed up. So I look forward to seeing a lot of everybody, you know, as many people as possible there. Please find me at the event. I'll be there the entire time because I'll be in the back taking lots of notes. And if you have anyone has any questions, follow me on social media and ask on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter at Jim Quick, K-W-I-K. And I wish your days be full of lots of life, lots of laughter, lots of love, and always lots of learning, right?
Yep. And we're really looking forward to seeing you at the event. I'm looking forward to seeing you and sharing a super brain smoothie with you at the Tonic Bar.
I can't wait. That's one of my favorite parts of the whole event.
So head on over to www.thelongevitynowconference.com. That's all one word, thelongevitynowconference.com. Pick up your tickets, grab your hotel room, and we'll see you at the event.